Thank you. Wasn't that great? That's good. Happy Mother's Day. We're glad that you're with us this morning, worshiping Christ. And I want to thank God for mothers. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about sex. How do you think you got here? My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. Somewhat humorous, but you know, there's another side of this. It has to do with how God created mothers. That great theologian, Irma Bombeck, said it this way. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into a sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And the Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And six pairs of hands." The angel shook her head slowly and said, "Six pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model," asked the angel. The Lord nodded. "One pair that sees through closed doors," when she asked, "What are you kids doing in there?" When she already knows. "Another here in the back of her head that sees what she wouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the one here in front that can look at a child when he goofs off and says, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." "Lord," said the angel, touching his sleeves gently, "come to bed. Do this tomorrow." "I can't," said the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand up in the shower." The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed. "But tough," said the Lord excitedly. "You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure." "Can it think?" "Not only think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. "There's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you were trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. The Lord looked somber. "I didn't put it there." God loves moms. Aren't you glad? God loves moms. I want to look at a verse in Exodus. In fact, I'd like us all to read it together in Exodus 20:12. Let's read. "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." That verse is quoted in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 3, where it talks about honoring your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you. How many of you want it to go well with you? Well, all of us want it to go well with us. Well, that wellness is related to how we honor our father and mother. And here in the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal primarily with the relationship to God. "I'm the Lord your God. Have no other gods. Make no graven images. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then the last six commandments, don't murder or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness or covet. But what ties the relationship to God, the relationship to others, what ties them together is the family. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Hey, there's a lot of pressures in our culture. The common pressures that all women experience in our culture, there are many. It's not easy being human. It's just not easy being human. As we look at the next slide here, guys. It's not easy being human. We live in a world that's fallen. It's not easy being a girl, a woman, whether married or single, a wife or a grandma. There's a lot of pressures. Being a woman has never been easy since Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see that Satan, through the serpent, began to speak to Eve. And he's still speaking to Eve. He's still attacking the woman. Has God said? He's still questioning God and his word and still condemning God and saying, God doesn't love you. Has God said? The serpent said to the woman. The serpent said to the woman. It's difficult being feminine and godly in our culture. And you know, it's been difficult in every culture. We often look at our culture and say, well, there's so much going on. There's more than we had 100 years ago or 50 years ago. Every culture in every culture has been difficult to live for God. In fact, it's impossible. Apart from God, you will never be feminine or godly what God's called you to be. We live in a culture where women are minimized, marginalized, masculinized, ostracized, and sexualized. By nature, our culture is anti-God, anti-human, anti-woman, anti-female, anti-male. And as a result, there's common problems that all of us have. All women share these problems in their hearts. I'm in a battle. There's a struggle going on in the heart and mind of every woman. It's with her own sin. We all have our own sin. It's with Satan. He's still attacking. He's still speaking to Eve. And it's also with the system in which we live. And that could be our world system. That could be our family system, how we grew up. It could be our present system, our work system, our school system. We all have systems in which we live. And left to ourselves, those systems, again, are against us. All women share these problems. There's not only that, there's a war within. There's a war raging within each of us. Paul says it this way in Romans 7:23. He says that though I delight in the law of God after the inward man, I see in the members of my body another war, waging war against the law of my mind and bringing me captive to death. There's a war going on in the hearts of each of us. Every woman has it. Every man has it. Each one of us has it. There's this war being waged in their hearts. The serpent is still speaking, and only God. In fact, in Romans 7, Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a battle going on at the inside. How are you doing? How are you doing with that battle? This morning I want to give you six principles. It relates not only to moms, but also to dads, to men and women, boys and girls. Whether you're 8 or 80, it doesn't matter. There's six scriptural principles. If you catch these principles, they'll begin to dramatically change your life. But this morning, I want to focus on that, and it's primarily in relation to Mother's Day. As a woman, Christ is my only solution and hope. You say, Rich, well, that's just kind of being spiritual or somewhat trite. Not really. As a woman, as a person, as a human being, Christ is our only solution. He's our only hope. And as we look at these six principles, they'll dramatically change your life. It doesn't mean it's easy. It's not just something, well, I accept that principle, so it's just going to happen. You're going to have to work through it and work at it. And God's at work in you, bringing these principles to pass through you. So in the midst of very difficult times, or whether you're burdened right now, or whether you're blessed extremely well, it doesn't matter. As a woman, as you catch these principles, you're going to realize your life revolves around Christ and not around the people or problems that you have. The first principle is this: I can only be delivered by Christ. I can only be delivered by Christ. Let's read this verse together. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, if Christ sets you free, you'll be free indeed. What a woman thinks about herself is largely determined by what the most significant person in her life thinks about her. Did you catch it? What a woman thinks about herself is largely determined by what the most significant person in her life thinks about her. In fact, the struggle most women have is the most significant person is there a husband or a dad or a mom or their kids or a work associate or a friend. What a woman thinks about herself is largely determined by what the most significant person in her life thinks about her. Sometimes the most significant person is herself. You know, a woman looks in the mirror. You know why a woman looks in the mirror? To see what's wrong. They look in the mirror, well, this isn't quite right, and this doesn't go with that. And, I mean, don't you just love women's hair? I love to see the way women do their hair. I mean, they have some going over this eye and flipped out this way and going back that way. And, man, it's just going everywhere. And in most cases, it's beautiful. You know, Matthew 10:30, it says, the hairs on your head are numbered. The hairs on your head are numbered. I've seen a few women. I think they're trying to confuse God. But, you know, the hair is her glory. So a woman looks in the mirror to see what's wrong, to fix it, to make it work, to make it look good. It's got to all fit together. Now, a man looks in the mirror to see what's right. I mean, I've seen guys look in the mirror, basically, say, you ugly devil, don't you ever die, you know. The guy's all messed up. He doesn't even know it. You see, I can only be delivered, rescued, or saved by Christ. If Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. Right now, some of you need to be set free. You're going to need a chiropractor after the service if you don't turn your chair around. So right now, just take a moment, just stand up and turn your chair around. I don't want you looking at me like this. I'm getting my neck's going weird up here. So come on, stand up. Let's everybody stand up. Come on, turn your chair around. Okay, come on, let's do it. I'm feeling better already. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, there's no one else. I'm God, there's no one like me. Isaiah tells us in 45:22, Christ, only Christ can deliver me. You see, the struggle is often women are trying to find their Savior in a man or a job or a friend. They want the opinion or the affection of someone that they don't get it from, and they keep striving all their life to try to get it. Most women are trying to find their completion in somebody else or something else. If you don't find your completion in Christ, you'll never find it in someone else. Does that make sense? There's no man who can save you. In fact, most men have messed you up already. Get a clue. Right now, look straight ahead and just smile. Say, Happy Mother's Day. Get a clue. You're too much for any man. God didn't design you for a man to complete you. Now, a man can meet some of her needs, maybe. But only God can complete you. I can only be delivered by Christ. Only Christ can rescue me, can save me. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul says in Romans 7:24, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can only be delivered by Christ. Secondly, a second principle, I'll never be condemned in Christ. You know, women more so than men have a tendency to feel a lot of self-condemnation, a lot more shame and being burdened and guilt. I think partly it's the way God's designed them emotionally and relationally, because they're so connected emotionally and relationally, it's easy for them to feel guilty and ashamed because of what's gone on in their life or the lives of those around them. I love what Paul says right after that Romans 7 section. He says, there's therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You're not condemned. You're not condemned. Many women feel condemned. Many women are often criticized or negated by spouses or by husbands or by their dads or by their moms or by their kids. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. If you feel negative about yourself or critically against yourself, something is deeply wrong. And the issue is that you're being defined by others. What a woman thinks about herself is most largely determined, most significantly, by what the most important person in her life thinks about her. Who's the most important person in your life? My friend, if it's not Christ, you're going to try to find to get it. You're going to try to get it from somebody else. Christ says there is no condemnation, therefore, to those who are in Christ Jesus. Ladies, you're not condemned. You're fully accepted. You're totally loved. Completely forgiven. You're not condemned in Christ. Shame and guilt should not be motivating you, but the love of God and the grace of God should. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from law of sin and death. You're not condemned in Christ. Thirdly, I must be defined by Christ. I must become defined by Christ. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I love what Paul says, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What he's telling you is this, what he's telling all of us, is God no longer wants me to live my life my way. God wants me to recognize who he is and let Christ live through me. I must yield to the Christ who's in me. I've been crucified with Christ. When I trusted Christ, God saw me as dying on the cross with him. When Christ was buried and rose again, he saw me buried with Christ and rose again in Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so now the Christian life is, how does the indwelling Christ live out of me? Here's the way. He begins to define my life. He begins to direct my life. I begin to focus on him and see what he says about me, not what others think about me, not even what I think about myself. It's what Christ says about me. And the life I now live in the body or in the flesh, I live by the faith or faithfulness in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, you're completely loved, ladies. Christ gave himself for you because he loves you. And if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ, right there where you're seated, for the first time in your life, you may realize I have something worth living for, and now I have something worth dying for. I've been getting definition for my life from everything else or everyone else, and I felt so bad about who I am. But now I see that Christ loves me. He died for me. He rose again. Right there where you're seated, say yes to Christ. You know you can trust Christ, accept Christ right there, right now. You don't have to go forward. You don't have to pray. You don't have to. Right there where you're seated. I need Christ. I need Christ. He can define my life. And as a result, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a woman thinks about herself is largely determined by what the most significant person in her life thinks about her. Who's the most significant person in your life, my friend? Ladies, girls, moms, grandmas, Christ. I love Christ. He accepts me. He frees me. He does not put all these things upon me. He doesn't motivate by guilt and shame. He motivates by his love and by his grace. I must become defined by Christ. Fourth, I must bring my thoughts captive. I must bring my thoughts captive to Christ and think like Christ. How can I do that? Christ is in me. Paul says in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus the Lord. He, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he talks about taking every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. All these thoughts you have going on in your mind, I don't look good, I don't think right, all this stuff, I got to do this to be accepted or acceptable. I got to be like this, I got to look like this. That's not true. All you have to be is what God's called you to be. You don't have to do all this stuff to make yourself acceptable. You are accepted and beloved, and as a result, you're free in Christ. You got to have that mindset. Unless you begin to think differently, you will not act differently. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It all starts with how you think about yourself. How do you think about yourself? What do you really think about yourself? Unless you get your definition of mindset and thinking from Christ, you're going to start thinking things about yourself that are not accurate, whether you're building yourself up or whether you're putting yourself down. We take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. I'm responsible. You're responsible as a Christian woman and as a young lady to take your thoughts captive. Instead of letting the world define you and everybody else define you, a boyfriend or a parent or a neighbor, a friend, let Christ define you. Don't let the world shove you into its mold. That's what the Phillips translation says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. But be transformed, be metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. Take your thoughts captive. You can think like Christ. You can think about Christ. You can let Christ begin to challenge your heart and mind, challenge what you really have been thinking and say, you know what? That's not true. Sometimes we need to say, what I'm thinking is just wrong. Isn't that so? What I'm thinking is wrong. Here's what Christ says. Here's what Christ says. I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I need a new kind of thinking. Fifth, I must believe that God rejoices over me through Christ. You know what? The average woman sitting here this morning does not believe that God rejoices over her. She doesn't rejoice over herself. If I don't think good about me, how can God think good about me? If my husband or my friends or my boyfriend or my girlfriends don't like me, how can I like me? What a woman thinks about herself is largely determined by what the most significant person in her life thinks about herself. What do you think about yourself? Why? The Lord your God is with you. Let's read this verse together. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Zephaniah 3:17. Let's read it. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Do you see those five phrases? The Lord your God is with you. Ladies, God's never going to leave you if you're his child. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews 13:5, in the original language, it's a triple negative. I will never, no, never, ever, never leave you. Bad English, but great theology. I will never leave you. Have you had a man leave you before, a mom or a dad? You know, Mother's Day for some is not easy because they look back and they see a mother that was not there, or they see a mother who bolted and was gone, or they don't even know who their mother is, or they see a mother abuse them. And now they're trying to live out their life with that same kind of stuff going on in their head. The Lord your God is with you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the Lord your God is with you? That's huge. Yeah, let's praise God. Let's give him a hand. He's mighty to save. God stretches out his arm and nobody turns it back. He's mighty to save. That's God. He rescues you. He delivers you. You say, my husband did. Who cares what your husband did? He's a mess. You know it, and so do I. It's not about your husband. If he defines you, you got a mess on your hands. Let him go. Let Christ define you. And then you'll have the freedom to be what God's called you to be. But he's mighty to save. God takes great delight in you. Ladies, you probably, that's the toughest phrase in this verse you're going to struggle with. He takes great delight in me? I don't know if anyone's taking great delight in me. God does. He loved you deeply. He's taken great delight in you. What a woman thinks about herself is largely determined by what the most significant person in her life thinks about her. Well, the most significant person in your life must be Christ. It has to be Christ. And if that's Christ, if that's what he says, I take great delight in you, then you can delight in God. Well, Rich, I looked at it. It doesn't matter how you look. God taking great delight in you is not based on your looks. It's not based on your looks. Well, I did this. God knows you did it. He's forgiven you in Christ. It's not based on what you've done. It's based on what he's done. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. Aren't you glad? God quiets you with his love. That's God, my friend. He rejoices over you with singing. Boy, this verse sounds almost romantic. Doesn't this verse sound romantic? God's the lover of your soul. He's pursuing you. He wants you to see it. He wants you to accept it. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to live in light of it. So, Rich, you don't know what it's like in my home. I'm glad I don't. I don't need to. God does. This verse is not based on what it's like in your home. In other words, this verse is saying you can live for Christ even if your home is not living for Christ at all. Even if the people in your home totally reject Christ, you can live for Christ. He will quiet you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing. You can think differently, even if everyone in your home or your family thinks just the opposite. Because you can't think like Christ. You know what he's telling us here is I get my identity from Christ. The last point is I get my identity from Christ. Where do you get your identity? I get my identity from Christ. I love Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. God fully manifested himself through Christ and in Christ on this earth. You want to see what God's like in human terms? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see the Gospels, the good news. Here's what God's like in human terms. For in Christ all the fullness of God dwells in a bodily form, in human form. And then it says, you are what? What's the verse? You are complete in him. We're often looking for people to complete us. Women are often looking for people to complete them. You are complete in Christ. You're filled to the full in Christ. You have all you need in Christ. And as a result, you can live out of that platform. You're secure and significant in Christ. You don't need someone else to make you secure and significant. You're complete in him. Let's all say that. You are complete in him. Now let's turn that around with a different pronoun, I. I am complete in him. One more time. I am complete in him. Now let's use the word Christ for him. I am complete in Christ. Why do we keep living as if we're under the circumstances? You're not under the circumstances. If you understand Christ, set your affection on things above. You're looking down on the circumstances. You're not under them. You're risen in Christ. You're alive in Christ. You see, masculinity cannot bestow femininity. A man can't make you become a woman. Only God can make you a woman, whether single or married. You never find your answers to life or your significance in life from a man. Never. I'm not saying they can't help and bless. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they can't meet some of your needs. I'm not saying that. You cannot find your security and significance from a man. If you do, he'll ultimately fail you. You have to find it in Christ and from Christ. I must find my meaning for life in Christ. You say, Rich, you don't know my husband. I've known some bad husbands. There's a great chapter in the Bible. You want to know how to kill your husband with kindness? I mean, literally. Read the story of Abigail and Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. She loved God and did what was right, and her husband had a heart attack and died. The point of the message isn't how to kill your husband. You do what God's called you to do, and he just might die. And if he does, you're probably going to marry the same kind of person anyway. Because that's how sick we are. Unless we find our definition from Jesus. Right, unless we find our definition from Jesus. Let's look at our last slide. What do I really believe about Christ? What do I really believe about Christ? You see, I learn from Christ who I am and what he's called me to be. That's where I learn it. This past week, I heard a guy speak, and he said this about his father. He said he rejected Christianity or religion because of religion. He said it this way: religion makes great things small. That's true. Religion makes great things small. And as he talked about that, I thought, you know what? Christ makes small things great. Satan makes beggars out of his kings, and God makes kings out of his beggars. And women, God designed you in a great way, and he wants you to manifest the greatness of God. Unless you realize he loves you and delights in you and rejoices over you, only then when you have the freedom to finally delight in him and rejoice over him will you become all that God's called you to be. It's not how vivacious you are, whether you're quiet or loud, that's not the issue. It's about who's Jesus. Who's Jesus? You see, my friend, you're chosen by God, you're graced by God, you're redeemed by God, you're forgiven by God. You are God's purchased possession. And ultimately, you'll live with God forever if you trust him. You can live differently in this life. You can live differently as a single or a married woman. You can live differently as a mom or grandma, but you will not live differently unless you begin to think like Jesus Christ thinks about you. What do I really believe about myself in Christ? God loves, honors, challenges, and resources all women through Christ. I'd like to ask Jen Cole if she would to come up. She's going to talk about some other resources we have for women and for ladies. And as she's coming, your identity must be found in Christ. If it's not, you're going to try to find it in yourself. And if you do, you'll ultimately fail. And you'll feel rejected, ashamed, and guilty. But if you find it in Christ, when you realize what he's given you, as a result, you have everything to give back to him. See, on your tables is a card. I'd like to take it. It's right by your communion table. Just take it out. It's about some ministries going on, women's ministry. Jen Cole has been in women's ministry for a number of years since she's been here. I've known Jen for, I think, about 16 years, because about 15 years ago, what happened?
Yeah, 15 years ago on Thursday, my husband James and I celebrated our 15-year anniversary. And Rich was there. He came all the way to Cincinnati, Ohio to marry us. So he is a very important person in our life.
Well, I love you guys. And it was so great to get to know you about 16 years ago and see that relationship develop. Mm-hmm. And since that time, you've been involved with women's ministries here at Sunrise. And tell us kind of what this is all about.
I am so excited just to have been asked to come up here today just to talk about ministries that I love and that are very precious to my heart. The first one being MOPS. MOPS has been here for 12 years now. It's for mothers of preschool age children. So that's anyone through pregnancy, through kindergarten. And it's really just a time of fellowship, of respite for our moms, just being with other women that are in the trenches. They're in the same boat. They know what you're going through at this time. And we just finished our first year, which is very exciting, of MOPS. Moms Next, which that is a sister ministry of Moms. And that's for elementary age moms. So we just wrapped up our first year. We had 31 women attend our first year, which is very exciting. And that's for women kindergarten through sixth grade. And then a third ministry we're highlighting this morning is Moms Day Out. Moms Day Out was here for many, many years. It took a little break, and now it's back. And so Moms Day Out is a ministry that has two purposes. One, it is for child care for our moms and Moms Next, but also it's for child care for any mother of preschool age or homeschooled children. Sometimes you just need a break, right? Sometimes it's okay to go grab a coffee with a friend. Sometimes you might want to go to the dentist and not take four children with you. That's what Moms Day Out is all about. So come and utilize that ministry because it's here for you.
That's great. Jen, now we're toward the end of that. When do these ministries run? We're kind of toward the end of this year?
We are. We are just wrapping up our year, but they do start back up in September. MOPS meets every other Thursday from 9:30 to noon. Moms Next does every other Tuesday from 9:15 to 11:15. And so Moms Day Out is on those Moms Next Tuesdays, and that's from 9 to 11:30.
Okay, and how's this reached out to our community? How has this had an impact on our church and our community?
It really has. I think that is what MOPS really is all about, is evangelizing and ministering to women. And I really think that it's encapsulated best by its mission statement. For MOPS and Moms Next, it is to encourage, equip, and develop women, elementary age moms and preschool moms, in their roles as women, mother, and leaders in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what these ministries do. For Moms Next, we have 31 women attend this year, 8 of them not going to our church. Mm-hmm. One who started MOPS last year came to Moms Next. That was the first time she'd ever stepped foot in a church, was from our ministry. It's very exciting. So there are 64 women this year who went to MOPS. Around 20 women or so do not attend this church. So these ministries are a real mission field. We're out there reaching women.
Yeah, praise God. That's what we're trying to do. And praise God for using MOMS and MOPS and Moms Next to get women into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else we should know? And one of the things we want to do this morning, which relate to this, is that we, Communion Sundays, we have a benevolent offering at the door with the ushers. And this morning, all this offering is going to go toward this ministry of MOPS and Moms Next. And because there's a lot of child care involved. How much did you guys spend last year just on child care?
$8,000. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of money. And so we raise that money. We have our registration fees are extremely low. We keep them low because we don't want finances to ever be an issue for any mom ever to attend these ministries. So we have scholarships available too that we provided around 7 scholarships this year, for example, just out of 31 women in Moms Next. So we do a lot of fundraising throughout our year, and really the fees that we have are just through registration fees and fundraising. So this is huge for us. We appreciate your support and your help in this way.
You know, I went to one of their meetings, I think it was in April last month, and they were meeting in the library, and I said, what are you guys talking about? Well, or maybe it was even February, March. We're trying to have a final fundraiser to raise the rest of the funds we need for to meet the needs of MOPS moms for babysitting and child care. So, another way maybe you could help is on those Tuesdays or Thursdays. Ladies, if you want to do child care, donate your time for Christ. That could be good too. That's another way of giving. So is there anything else you want us to know about these ministries?
There's just a lot of ways that you can get involved. Obviously, if you're a mother of preschooler, we would love to have you. There's a women's ministry table out there this morning, and there's some more information out there. We would love to see you come in September. Same for Moms Next as well. That starts back up in September, and we would just love to have fellowship with you and a time together. Another way that you may serve these ministries, maybe don't fall into those categories, but we need mentor moms too. Mentor moms are basically women who they've kind of been through that. They've done it. They maybe have middle school, high school, college age kids or beyond, and they're just there to mentor and love our moms, and that's what we need. And like Rich addressed too, MOPET workers, Moms Day Out workers, we need you. We need you there loving on our kids so we can just have a little bit of respite time as moms and fellowship together.
That's great. So if you're connected or unconnected, want to get involved, I think maybe one more meeting this month or so.
Right. Our last MOPS meeting is this Thursday. So that would be a great meeting to come and check out. If you're thinking, let me see if this is for me, this would be a great one to check out. And then you're ready to start up in September with us.
That's great. No, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for Jen. Thank you for her heartbeat. Thank you for, from the beginning, 12 years ago, she was involved in planning and strategizing what you were calling Sunrise to do to have a greater impact on families through moms. And so, Lord, thank you for the way you've blessed this ministry. Yeah, we have a number of families at Sunrise now because somehow they were ministered to as a mom And then they saw the love of Christ here, and they came to either know Christ or got involved in ministry here because of Christ. So continue to bless Jen and her team as they put all this together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Love you guys. I'd like to ask Steve if he would come up. I think we have a few questions before we take communion.
Okay.
On Sunday morning, sometimes we text questions in, and do we have any questions concerning this morning?
We got some questions in, and some pretty good ones. Let's see, here's one. It says, I know I need to find my hope and identity in Christ alone, but isn't it the role of Christian men to affirm and encourage women?
Yes. Do they always do it, and do they do it well? No. Because maybe some of the same hang-ups you have, your husband has those hang-ups. The six principles we mentioned this morning about ladies, they're also for men, for boys and girls, whether 8 or 80. And so I'm not saying that men shouldn't be encouraging their wives and blessing their wives. Of course they should. But I'm saying if your identity is based on your husband's thinking about you or what he does with you or for you or through you, then you've got a problem. Your identity has to come from Christ. It can't be primarily from your husband or your dad or a friend.
Amen. All right. So here's another one.
By the way, men, for Mother's Day, encourage your wife. She might faint.
How do I learn to prioritize? I think it's how do I learn to prioritize? How do I serve in my role as mother, wife, daughter, sister? Do any of these roles define me, or is my identity beyond these?
That question sounds tiring. How do I serve as a mom, a wife, a woman? Just all these things I got to do, a cook, a cleaner, all these other things. I'm working outside home, then I come home and do all this. That's tiring. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you'll find rest for your souls. Matthew 11, maybe write it down, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Yoke up with me and you'll find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If your yoke is hard and your burden is heavy, then you're not yoking up with Christ. Something else is going on inside of you. And then when you yoke up with Christ, you won't have to worry about, now I'm a mom, now I'm a wife, now I'm a whatever. You won't worry about those things. You'll just live out what God's called you to do. Instead of being these things you got to do, this list of things you got to become, you won't have to live like that. You can live out Christ and be free with what God's called you to be. There's a lot of freedom there.
Okay, and here's one. This is great. Is there any other programs for women that are full-time workers and full-time students that can come that cannot make it, you know, in the morning?
Yeah, there's a number of things. For example, we have BSF here, Bible Study Fellowship, on Monday nights. On Wednesday nights, there's a number of ladies groups that have Bible studies. There's also, we have small groups. Get involved in a small group. Some of those are made up of men and women, whether single or married. There's some women's small groups. There's lots of opportunities. Ladies, you can't make it alone. I think ladies need other ladies. Get someone else in your life. Find someone else who can encourage you and challenge you. Another woman who can you can meet with and connect with and have some encouragement. So there's lots of ways and lots of opportunities for you to get involved.
Okay. This will be fun.
Uh-oh.
Hey, what about a stay-at-home dad?
What about it? I think there's no problem. Whether mom's working and dad's at home, the issue isn't how you're doing it. Did you catch it? That's not the issue. The issue is, are you both, are you a man or a woman, especially this morning, it's Mother's Day, as a woman, are you finding your identity in Christ? You might be a woman who makes $200,000 a year. Is that your identity? If that's your identity, I feel sorry for you. If you don't find your identity in Christ, no amount of money is going to make a difference at all. So it's not about a stay-at-home mom or dad. It's not who stays at home. It's about, are you finding your identity in Christ and then living out Jesus wherever you are, in the home, in the workplace, neighborhood, in the school, wherever, living out Christ. Let's take one more, maybe.
One more, okay. At the age of 18, how do I become a better person in Christ?
At the age of 18, start now. I assume you're asking that as an 18-year-old. Don't wait till you're 19 or 20. In other words, you know what? A 12-year-old can live out what we talked about this morning on their level. You know that? Yeah, let's clap our hands here. You can. You can live this out as a 12-year-old on your level. God will teach you and show you. You'll learn it from Him. Start now. Don't wait. Because a lot of people, they've lived till they're 30, 40, 50, and then they're finally trying to get their lives together after all these things they've done. And they're saying, man, I wish I would have known this years ago. I wish you would have too. But the point is, all you do is you know it now. Live it out now. If you knew it years ago and didn't live it out, then confess that as sin to God and move on with Christ. Because Christ wants to give you hope and peace. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. Right? He rejoices over you with singing. He'll quiet you with his love. That's our God, my friend. That's who he is. Find your identity in Christ. This morning as we take communion, you'll find the services are at your table, the bread and the cup. And as our ladies' band is singing, leading us in worship this morning, seek God. Find out where God's talking to you this morning. If you're here and not a Christian, trust him right there. If you're walking away from God or not finding your identity in Christ, right there, maybe just bow your head and say, Lord, I see it. Help me to find you this morning and seek you. God will reveal himself to you, and you can be all that God wants you to be. And as you take communion, realize Jesus gave his body for you and his blood because he loves you that much. And now he's inside of you. He wants you to live him out. Take communion with Christ on your heart and mind. God bless you.